spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Life. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our script today is Morton Wishengrad's story of the philosopher Moses Mendelssohn. Featured in the title role is Peter Capel. The narrator is Morton Wolfson.
A hunchback, and he was ugly. Ugly, awkward, shy, sickly. And there was something strange in this, for the deformity was upon his back only, and not upon his mind, which was transfigured with beauty and rare. He lived 200 years ago. His name was Moses Mendelssohn. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Do you know this melody? Mendelssohn. Felix Mendelssohn. Grandson of Moses, the hunchback. But fame does not rest there. For Moses Mendelssohn, ugly, shy, awkward, sickly, hunchback. This man who lived in Berlin in the time of Frederick the Great, he was something also. First he was a Jew. Then he was a philosopher. And finally, if you look further, he was the universal man. On a summer's day in the year 1760, the hunchback went to the king. The philosopher king had summoned, the philosopher Jew obeyed. All Berlin held its breath. The only person unimpressed was the warder of the king's gate, who blew his nose into a discolored rag and coughed into the philosopher's face and unceremoniously demanded,
Who are you?
My name is Moses Mendelssohn.
Fine. Now go away.
You don't understand.
Well, that's good. Now go away.
I should like to, but I can't. The king sent for me.
You?
Me.
What for?
I really have no idea.
What do you do?
I'm a theologian.
Impossible. The king doesn't want to see you.
Very well.
One moment. What's a theologian?
Pugnacious man who belligerently proclaims peace. A juggler of morals.
Did you say juggler? Like in a circus?
In a manner of speaking, life is a circus.
Why didn't you say so before? Enter, juggler. The king will see you.
Mendelssohn, how dare you?
How dare I, Your Majesty?
Don't pretend. You wrote this. You wrote this about my poetry.
Did I, Your Majesty?
You did. If no one will correct the king's philosophy, at least someone must venture to correct his grammar.
Your Majesty.
Don't try to explain it away.
Whoever makes verses, Your Majesty.
Indeed.
Whoever makes verses plays at ninepins. And whoever plays at ninepins, be king or peasant, must have the pin boy tell him how he bowls.
I can't say I wasn't warned about you. You may be seated, philosopher.
Your Majesty is most condescending. Thank you.
I have a question, Mendelssohn. Which form of government is the best?
Sire, I cannot answer.
You will answer if I command it.
I cannot, Your Majesty. It is like asking which food is the most wholesome. Every climate and age, every sex and profession requires different answers.
Go on.
That is all, sire. Each stage of civilization requires a new form of government.
How will you know whether government is good in each stage?
No government is good, Your Majesty.
Take care, Mendelssohn. You'll become a reformer, and then I shall have to relieve you of your head.
I do not care much for reformers, Your Majesty.
No? Glad to hear it.
They're ruthless people. They must be. Every reformer is a fanatic who lacks consideration for other people's feelings.
I dare say. Only, Mendelssohn, where was your consideration for my poetry when you wrote your criticism?
Your Majesty, where was your consideration for literary criticism when you wrote your poetry?
Such was Moses Mendelssohn, sickly, awkward, spindle-legged, curved of spine, but a mind transfigured with beauty and rare. In the dark path on which man is to walk here on earth, his mind provided light for each step of the way. He was the friend of Gotthold Lessing, of Immanuel Kant, of Christopher Nicolai. They hailed him as the Socrates of Germany, and in return he tried to show them God in every rising sun, in every fall of rain, in every blowing flower. And yet this man was lonely. And then in the year 1762, Moses Mendelssohn saw Fromet.
You are very plain.
I know.
But Fromet, I'm worse than plain.
I know.
Sir.
Is it?
What can you see in me?
You?
No, Fromet, I can't allow it. I'm a caricature of a man.
Moses Mendelssohn, I see you.
From that, I'm ugly.
Once, Moses Mendelssohn, there was an ugly man named Rabbi Joshua. And when a Roman princess saw him, she marveled that God had seen fit to put so much wisdom in so unbeautiful a vessel.
But from that...
And he answered, "Why does your father keep his wine in an earthen vessel?" So she persuaded her father, the king, to transfer the good wine to vessels of gold and silver. And the wine turned sour. Don't you see, Moses Mendelssohn? She discovered what I know. Goodness and wisdom are like wine. They keep best in a plain vessel. Like you.
Thank you for that.
Moses Mendelssohn, will you ask me?
It's impossible.
Ask me.
I can't find the word.
Then I shall ask you. Moses Mendelssohn, I am a plain, silly, poor girl. I wish to cook for you, to mend your clothes, to tidy your books, to ask you foolish questions, to annoy you, to scold you. I think I snore at night, I'm not sure. I'm moderately stupid. I'm illiterate in several languages. And I wish to be your wife.
From that, I've never met her. But your blue eyes.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hast created joy and gladness, bridegroom and bride, mirth and exultation, pleasure and delight, love, brotherhood, peace, and fellowship. Soon there may be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem the voice of joy and gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the jubilant voice of the bridegrooms from their canopies and of youth from their feasts of song. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who makest the bridegroom to rejoice with the bride. Bridegroom.
Yes.
We come now to an ancient marriage custom. Even on this day of your gladness, you may not forget the yearning of Israel for its ancient home. This glass is a symbol of the Temple of Jerusalem. Step on this glass and crush it. for so was the temple destroyed. And let this knowledge temper your joy.
Writing?
I'll be finished in a little while from then.
More coffee?
No, thank you.
Then I'll have some. Must you write?
Yes, of course. Why, Finette, this is for the prize competition of the Berlin Academy of Sciences.
Is it? What's the subject?
Our metaphysical truth, susceptible of mathematical demonstration.
Well, if you ask a foolish question, you generally get a foolish answer.
Jeanette, I know this is a curious way to spend a honeymoon. The second prize is 20 ducats. That's a good deal of money.
And the first prize?
I can't hope for that. A man with cancer is entered in the competition.
What's the first prize?
50 ducats. But that's impossible.
Moses Mendelssohn, I plan to have 6 babies. 3 sons and 3 daughters. We need the 50 ducats.
Jeanette?
Yes.
I have to work.
No, tell me what you were going to say.
I couldn't, Jeanette. I seem to have words for everything. No words for that.
That's good enough. Go back to your writing. I promise not to disturb you. I promise not for at least 10 minutes.
June 1763, Romet Mendelssohn received 50 ducats from a philosopher. The Berlin Academy of Sciences had announced its award. Moses Mendelssohn, the victor over Immanuel Kant. And now an ungainly little man, who each morning donned the traditional prayer shawl and phylactery. Now this man, skull-capped, retiring, shy of adulation, became the most sought-after scholar in Europe. Socrates in a prayer shawl. This was the age of enlightenment, but it was also the age of prejudice. Prejudice refined, tinged with scholarly courtesy, and therefore more dangerous. Moses Mendelssohn was a marked man.
Play these pieces down.
Thank you, Mendelssohn.
May I offer you some wine?
Thank you, no. Mendelssohn, I spoke to King Frederick this morning. I found him reading your latest work.
I'm flat.
Prussia is proud of you, Mendelssohn. I wish we would be even prouder.
I do not understand you, sir.
You are a Jew. If you were not a Jew, well...
Has the king suggested this visit?
It's my own idea. No, that isn't so. A great many people have the same idea. Influential people. You understand what I mean.
My dear Baron, have you come to discuss a religious matter?
Your religion is a state matter.
I believe that church and state must be separate. My religion cannot concern you, Baron.
Nevertheless, it does.
We appear to differ.
There is no difference between the state and the church, Mendelssohn. No difference at all.
Baron, no. You're wrong. The state dictates and coerces. Religion teaches and persuades. The state enacts laws. Religion suggests commandments. The state is armed with physical force. Religion has no force but benevolence. Benevolence and love and truth.
Well, I'm not a philosopher, Mendelssohn. I can't argue with you.
I'm very glad. I do not molest any man for his religion. I ask in return that no man molest me for mine.
Good day, Herr Mendelssohn.
Good day, Baron.
Mendelssohn, I'm surprised at your stubbornness.
Are you, Your Majesty?
This is the state of Prussia. A state cannot abide differences. I cannot.
Your Majesty, how manifold is God's world? How varied, how multicolored. Each man has his own peculiar countenance and speech.
Well?
Your Majesty, this is not for nothing. Difference is the design of creation. Sameness would frustrate that design.
I have to consider the welfare of the state. You are arguing away from the point, Mendelssohn.
It is the point, Your Majesty. Be strict as to the life and conduct of men. Make wise laws for them. But leave speaking and thinking to us. Can't you see, Your Majesty? The height of civilization will only be attained when there is universal forbearance among men, not otherwise.
Mendelssohn, you are away from the point.
You must forgive me, sire, but I'm not. Do I disturb the welfare of the state?
No.
Am I obedient to the civil government?
Yes, you are.
Do I act righteously toward you, toward my countrymen?
Well...
Then let me pray to God after my own fashion. Let me seek eternal salvation where I think I may find it. Your Majesty, do not become... Do not suffer anyone to become a searcher of heart and a judge of opinion. These are rights which God has reserved to himself.
Mendelssohn, you are stubborn.
Your Majesty, I am right.
Philosopher, you have not heard the last of this.
I beseech Your Majesty. Laws do not alter persuasion. Arbitrary punishments improve no morals. Fear and hope are no criterions of truth. Your Majesty, I beseech you, leave supremacy of opinion to God.
Thank you, Mendelssohn. You may leave now.
Good day, Your Majesty.
Good day, philosopher.
Not to end. In the year 1769, Dr. Johann Caspar Lavater translated into German a work entitled An Inquiry into the Evidences of Christianity. And Dr. Lavater did a strange thing. He dedicated the work to Moses Mendelssohn, and the dedication contained a challenge.
Permit me to read the inscription, my dear Mendelssohn. I beseech you to read this work. Either for the purpose of publicly refuting the arguments in support of the facts of Christianity, or else, should you find those arguments conclusive, to do what love of truth demands, what Socrates would doubtless have done.
Why do you want to make this challenge, Doctor? I do not wish to engage in religious controversy.
I am terribly sorry, Mendelssohn, but I'm afraid it's too late. Too late now. The volume has been published. People will expect an answer. Naturally, people will expect an answer.
Moses, you must stop pacing back and forth. You are making yourself ill.
Why can't people leave me alone? Have I harmed them?
Your face is flushed.
I can't be silent now. People will think I'm indifferent.
Drink this. It's good for you. Your head is hot.
When will they understand? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that instructeth nations, shall he not correct? Even he that teacheth man knowledge.
You will make yourself worse. Please go to bed.
How can I? I want to stand in the window. I want to shout to them. I want them to hear. The whole world to hear. I want to say the house of God is accessible to all. God alone knows our secret thoughts. God alone searches the heart. We are but of yesterday. We know nothing.
Drink it.
I'm sorry for my headless heart.
Drink it all down. All of it. Feel better now?
Yes, yes. I feel better. Listen to me.
Yes.
The entire thing is a subterfuge. It is a trap, not only for me, but for all men.
Then answer them. It's simple.
If I answer, they will call me presumptuous and blasphemous.
Then don't answer. That's even more simple. Keep still.
But that's the trap. If I keep still, they will smile and say that I'm afraid or that I have no faith to defend them.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. If people would only see that belief is something which no man can compel. Once belief is compulsory, men believe not through honesty, a penalty. And religion becomes a dead work.
You will know what to do, Moses. I have faith in you. Now, please go to your bed. Please.
Dr. Lessing, where are you taking him?
He must go, Frau Mendelssohn.
My husband is ill.
Mendelssohn, shall I read your answer for you?
No, thank you. I must not involve you in this. Lessing, my coat. Thank you.
It's time. They're waiting a great many of them.
Take the scarf for your throat, Moses.
Thank you, Tremaine. All right. I'm ready. There are some of you present who admit to an unflattering opinion of my religion. I wish to shame that opinion, but through virtue and not through controversy. Yet you insist on controversy. Then listen. My religion does not believe that only through Judaism is there salvation. The rabbis teach that the righteous of all nations shall have a part in the rewards of the future world. Suppose sitting here, there were a Confucius or a Plato. I could, consistent with my religious principles, love and admire such a man. But would I propose to convert him? What for? I believe that he who leads mankind onto virtue in this world cannot be damned in the next world. These are my principles. So long as I live, I will adhere to them. I do not wish to force those principles upon you. I shall not let you force your principles upon me. I shall not admit your right to rake into the innermost recesses of the human heart in order to compel avowals which yield only misery to society. Men are born for each other. Either teach your neighbor or bear with him. Principles are free. He who has eyes, let him see. And he who has sense, let him examine and live according to his convictions. Let us combine wisdom with goodness and call it justice. Among all the laws of the Bible and the Talmud, you will find none which imposes belief. Belief cannot be imposed. The laws do not state, thus shalt thou believe, or thus shalt thou not believe. Only, thus shalt thou do, and thus shalt thou not do. I believe that I have found these truths, and that anyone can find them who seeks with his eyes open and does not stand in his own light.
End of a controversy that has not ended. But at least during the lifetime of Moses Mendelssohn, it was not raised again. And now this man, universally honored, was acclaimed chief representative of the Jews, the first Jew of Europe. He was the first in Germany to plead for separation of church and state. The first to plead for freedom of belief and conscience. He belonged to the age of enlightenment. He was the universal man.
If you would like a free copy of the script you've just heard, as well as the talk which follows immediately, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Now we present Rabbi Harry Halpern of the East Midwood Jewish Center in Brooklyn. Rabbi Halpern.
At a time when misunderstanding and rancor still govern the relationship of man to his fellow men, when a large portion of the Jewish people and other minority groups still struggle for equality of political and social status with others, and when the religious faith of Jews must meet the challenge of new intellectual horizons, the work and personality of Moses Mendelssohn can do much to bring clarity in our thinking and courage in our action. The effort to reconcile faith and reason has challenged the best minds of every age. Every advance in human knowledge brings with it the need for adjusting accepted and time-honored beliefs to new world views. For many Jews, unfortunately, this means the surrender of hallowed traditions and practices to every transient intellectual pattern. Mendelssohn met the challenge by pointing out how reason and faith might be fused in the flame of deep religious devotion. Without sacrificing his intellectual integrity, he maintained his allegiance to Judaism. From the rock of reason, he brought forth the living waters of religious faith. For him, national self-respect was impossible without knowledge. From its infancy, the Jewish people was enjoined to study and learn. This devotion to Torah has remained one of the cardinal principles of Judaism. Mendelssohn believed that many Jewish problems could be solved by an increase of knowledge. He translated the Bible into German, primarily for the benefit of his children, so that it might speak to them in a familiar tongue. Can we express the duty of Jewish parents in any age better than by saying that it means translating the lesson of our faith into the idiom of our time? Mendelssohn entered the struggle for the achievement of Jewish equality. At his suggestion, a noble Christian named Dohm wrote the first plea for civil rights for Jews. But Mendelssohn hoped to achieve respect for his brethren, not through concessions wrung from mighty rulers, but rather by dignified Jewish living. He fought baseless prejudice against his own people, but pleaded likewise for sympathy and understanding towards all. In thinking, he fought for the greatest latitude. In practice, he called for a strict adherence to the requirements of one's own religious faith. Mendelssohn is for us a shining example of the modern Jew who synthesized the noblest in Judaism with the best in modern culture. For us who are faced with problems similar to those which confronted his generation, there is much to be learned from his life. An open-minded loyalty to our own tradition, faithful observance of its precepts, a dignified but resolute battle for Jewish rights, and love and respect for all men.
Thank you, Rabbi Helfand. Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Peter Capell was featured as Moses Mendelssohn, and Morton Wolfson was the narrator. Cantor David Futterman, who sang the liturgical music, is chairman of the Jewish Music Week Committee. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program came to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and was presented by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. If you would like a free copy of the script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.